Blog
All right,
Talk
welcome
Radio.
To Radio. We are doing a Bible knowledge test to increase our biblical knowledge through the study of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this is a Bible knowledge test, so it's pretty detailed. We will do the final exam to the course hopefully Sunday, because the professor has to give me a password. But this is our Bible knowledge test, strictly from the Bible. All right, what commandment is found at the end of the Decalogue? At the end of the Ten Commandments, which one of these is at the end? You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, or you shall not covet. Which one is the last of the Ten Commandments? You shall not covet, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal. Anybody?
Steal.
Steal? No. You shall not covet. Exodus 20:17, Deuteronomy 5:21.
You shall not what?
Covet. C-O-V-E-T. That means like, right, envious or jealous or, you know.
Right.
You look at a person with an evil eye, your neighbor.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's so horrible.
All right. Who took Sarah as a wife? The Egyptian Pharaoh Isaac and Abimelech, Abraham and Terah, Haran when he died, Abraham is correct. Abraham, the Egyptian Pharaoh, and it says Abimelech. Genesis 11:29. Genesis 12:15 and Genesis 20, verse 2. Oh, boy. Oh, good. Here, let it out, Mommy. Put it in there. Yeah, it's coming out. And that's what we want. Poor Mommy. Mommy never had a cold like that, so you know that's something they really, it's a simulation of a cold. It's not even a real one.
Don't tell me, haters.
It's ridiculous. With what place were Abraham and David both closely associated? Was it Jericho, Peniel, Nineveh, or Hebron? This is difficult because I never even heard of Hebron, but it is Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N. This was the place that Abraham and David were closely associated. All right. Keeping the Passover is commanded in which of the following books? Okay. Keeping the Passover is commanded in which of the following books? Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, or all answers? That's an easy one. Keeping the Passover. All answers is correct. Excellent, excellent. Lisa, you're not participating tonight? Lisa and, let me see, talk to you. I don't want to leave you out. Oh, they left. Okay. Okay. All right. When Moses delayed coming down from Sinai, what happened? When Moses delayed coming down from Sinai, what happened? The people made a molten calf. Aaron made a molten calf. Aaron waited patiently. The people began to leave. When Moses delayed coming down from Sinai, what happened? That's a detailed one, so I'll give it. Aaron made a molten calf. Okay. When the Gospel of John says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, to which story in Numbers is it referring? Again, when the Gospel of John says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, to which story in Numbers is it referring? Is it referring to the destruction of a golden idol, the divine protection of Moses, Moses' staff, or the healing of serpent bites?
Okay,
Say it again.
When the Gospel of John says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, to which story in Numbers is it referring? Is it referring to the story about the destruction of golden idol? Is it referring to the story about the divine protection of Moses? Is it referring to the story about Moses' staff? Or is it referring to the story about the healing of serpent bites?
The staff?
Mm-mm.
The staff.
Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. They were talking about the healing of serpent bites.
So you're dealing with the protection?
When Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, when they were in the wilderness, he was probably talking about the miraculous power of God, and he picked up a snake, a serpent, and he was saying, you know, even if this bites you, it's the healing of serpent bites. The answer I have here. All right, which book contains the following statement? If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Is that Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, or Deuteronomy? Which book contains the following statement? If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death. Is that in Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, or Deuteronomy?
Mm.
It's a book of instruction.
Oh.
With lots of laws.
Leviticus
20, verse 10. Excellent. Excellent. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This appears in which book? Is it Leviticus, Numbers, Exodus, or Deuteronomy? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord our God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This appears in which book?
Name them again.
Leviticus, Numbers, Exodus, or Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy.
Excellent. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Excellent. Okay. According to Genesis, Jacob's brother Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. Which nation does he represent? He represents Edom, Assyria, Ammon, or Moab? That's a hard one.
Moab.
You have to go back to the Bible stories to look to find these. That would be Edom, E-D-O-M. On what or whom was Aaron required to sprinkle blood during the Day of Atonement? Again, on what or whom was Aaron required to sprinkle blood during the Day of Atonement? Was it on every Israelite who confessed sin, on the scapegoat sent out into the wilderness, on his sons who represented the people of Israel, on the mercy seat, the covering of the Ark of the Covenant? Where did he sprinkle the blood for atonement in the Old Testament?
The Ark of the Covenant.
Excellent. The Ark of the Covenant, Leviticus 16:14. Excellent. Which of Joseph's brothers argued against taking Joseph's life? Was it Benjamin, Reuben, Judah, or Esau? Which of Joseph's brothers argued against taking
Esau.
Joseph's life? No.
Jacob?
No, Benjamin, Reuben, Judah, or Esau?
Was it? Say what?
Benjamin,
was
Reuben.
Was it Benjamin?
Mm-mm. Reuben. What did Jacob call the place where he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar? Again, what did Jacob call the place where he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar? He called it Shechem, Bethel, Haran, or Beersheba. Shechem, Bethel, Haran, or Beersheba.
Was it Bathsheba?
Mm-mm. But it begins with a B.
Baram?
No, Bethel. Genesis 28:18, Bethel, B-E-T-H-E-L. All right, which of the following was a result of the mission of the 12 spies? Again, which of the following was a result of the mission of the 12 spies? Was it the rod of Aaron sprouted forth buds and bore ripe almonds? Or Israel remained in the wilderness for 40 years? Or Miriam sang a song of victory to the Lord? Or Moses struck a rock twice so that the water came forth? Which of the following was a result of the mission of the 12 spies?
The 12 what?
Spies. That's from Numbers. What happened to them in Numbers? Israel remained in the wilderness for 40 years because of those 12 spies. Those spies came back and gave them stories and made them scared to go fight, and they suffered for being scared and not trusting God.
Okay, so what was that? The spies?
Israel remained in the wilderness for 40 years. The question was, which of the following was a result of the mission of the 12 spies? And as a result of the mission, because the 12 spies went and spied on the enemy. And then they came back, and they scared the people. So they said, "No, we're not going in there." You know, they didn't. The spying took their trust away from God, their trust and their faith. And they suffered 40 years behind that because of the report of the spies. The revelation of God's name to Moses occurs in which book? The revelation of God's name to Moses occurs in which book? Exodus, Numbers, Genesis, or Leviticus? The revelation of God's name to Moses occurs in which book? Exodus, Numbers, Genesis, or Leviticus? It begins with an E.
Exodus.
Exodus is correct. Excellent. Which tribe?
Okay, so let me answer this. What is the book of Exodus about?
The book of Exodus, let me see. That's the second book of the Bible, right after Genesis, when everything was created. That's when they were moving towards. Egypt. I don't have the full story. That's why I'm taking these classes myself. But I can.
So basically,
let me go to the main point. Hold on. I could look at the main points if you want to know. Exodus.
Yeah.
All right. The main point is redemption from Egypt, preparation of the leaders for the redemption. Israel accepts the call of Moses as deliverer. The preservation of Israel in the wilderness. They were preserved from, in Exodus, they were preserved from thirst, hunger, and defeat and chaos. And they received a revelation from God. The revelation of the covenant came there. The preparation of the people, the revelation of the covenant and the judgments. Exodus is a book of redemption. The book of Exodus reports the first of God's deliverance of Israel as he had promised Abraham. The second book of the Pentateuch picks up the story where Genesis left off, and so it is a sequel. In Genesis, the divine purpose is revealed. In Exodus, the divine performance is exhibited. This deliverance from bondage was a crucial event in the experience of the Israelites. Centuries later, many authors of the prophetic books and Psalms acclaimed it as the most significant miracle in their history. The deliverance is a beautiful type of sinner's redemption from the bondage of sin. Thus, Exodus is rightly called the Book of Redemption. And comparison of Genesis and Exodus. Genesis, we have human effort and failure. In Exodus, it goes into divine power and triumph. In Genesis, we have a word of promise. In Exodus, we have the work of fulfillment. In Genesis, we have a people chosen. In Exodus, we have a people called. In Genesis, we have God's electing mercy. In Exodus, we have God's electing manner. In Genesis, it talks about the revelation of nationality. In Exodus, it's the realization of nationality. The Christ of Exodus is described. Exodus contains no direct messianic prophecies, but it is full of types and portraits of Christ. In Exodus, they introduce Moses as a type of Christ. Somebody's got noise. Somebody's got some background noise. Oh, boy. Noise. Both Moses and Christ were prophets, priests, and kings. Although Moses was never made a king, he functioned as a king. Both were kinsmen redeemers. Both are endangered in infancy. Both voluntarily renounced power and wealth. Both were deliverers. Both were lawgivers and mediators. This is all about Exodus, so it goes into Moses. The Christ of Exodus is Moses. Exodus goes into the Passover, where John and Corinthians make it clear that Christ is our Passover lamb. Exodus goes into the seven feasts. Each of these feasts portrays some aspect of the ministry of Christ. The Exodus, Paul relates baptism to the Exodus event because baptism symbolizes death to the old and identification with the new. Exodus talks about the tabernacle and its materials, colors, furniture, and arrangement. The tabernacle clearly speaks of the person of Christ in the way of redemption. The development is progressive from suffering, blood, and death to beauty, holiness, and the glory of God. The tabernacle is theology in a physical form. Exodus talks about the high priest. In several ways, the high priest foreshadows the ministry of Christ, our great high priest. The keys to Exodus, the important words, the keys to Exodus, redemption. Central to the book of Exodus is the concept of redemption. Israel was redeemed from bondage in Egypt and into a covenant relationship with God. From the redemption of Moses in the Nile to the redeeming presence of God in the tabernacle, Exodus records God's overwhelming acts of deliverance by which he demonstrates his right to be Israel's king. The key verses are Exodus 6:6 and Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. The key chapter of Exodus is Exodus chapter 12 through 14. The climax of Exodus, the main idea, the main point of Exodus, is the climax of the entire... You have tissue? Let it come out, Mommy. Okay. Oh, I'm so glad she's getting rid of this cold. The climax of the entire Old Testament is recorded in Exodus chapters 12 through 14. It talks about the salvation of Israel through blood, the Passover, and through power, the Red Sea. The Exodus is the central event of the Old Testament as the cross is of the New Testament. So the keys are redemption from Egypt, and revelation from God, and Moses was the leader. Exodus is lots of demonstration of God's power. Exodus goes into the Passover. What is it in Israelite history? And Exodus goes into the Passover lamb, and they compare it to the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ. So the key thing in Exodus, they go into when they used to get the animal, where the animal is slain, and they would use that sacrificial offering for atonement of sins of all the people in the town. Okay? So that was a little bit about Exodus, since that was a question. Now, back to the quiz. Okay, Amy, any particular part of Exodus? Anything else? Those are the key parts of Exodus. You wanted to know anything else? All right, so All right, the key to Exodus is redemption. They were redeemed from Egypt, and they had an opportunity to regain their relationship with God. All right, the revelation of God's name to Moses occurs in which book? That was Exodus. Okay. Which tribe was not allotted any territory in Canaan? That's a detail. Those were the Levites. So I'll go through. According to Leviticus, what does the Jubilee year require? According to Leviticus, what does the Jubilee year require? The celebration of the Exodus, return of property, animal sacrifice, ritual purification. According to Leviticus, what does the Jubilee year require? The celebration of the Exodus, the return of property, animal sacrifice, or ritual purification. This is the main return of property. According to Leviticus, what does the Jubilee year require? I'm going to take a minute.
Celebration of Jubilee.
It says the return of property. So let me take a look at that. Jubilee. Let's see what book. Did it refer to one of the books? According to Leviticus. Okay. Leviticus. Jubilee year requirements. Let's see. Leviticus. Let's take a look here. Yep, listen to this. Leviticus, in this year of Jubilee, everyone is to return their own property. They are to return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. You shall every man unto his possession. That's the scripture, Leviticus 25:13. Let me take a look in just plain English here. The Jubilee, Hebrew, year is the year at the end of seven cycles of sabbatical years, and according to biblical regulations, it had a special impact on the ownership and management of land in the land of Israel. There is some debate whether it was the 49th year, the last year of seven sabbatical cycles, referred to as Sabbath, or whether it was the following 50 year. Jubilee deals largely with land, property, and property rights. According to Leviticus, slaves and prisoners would be freed, debts would be forgiven, and the mercies of God would be particularly manifested. Leviticus 25:8-13 states, "And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee. Seven times 7 years in the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And all ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself, nor gather the grapes in the vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field in the year of this jubilee. Ye shall return every man unto his possession. The biblical rules concerning sabbatical years are still observed by many religions in the state of Israel. But the regulations for the jubilee year have not been observed for many centuries. According to the Torah, observation of Jubilee only applies when the people live in the land of Israel according to their tribes. Thus, with the exile of the tribes, okay, so Jubilee is not that much celebrated, but it's a time, it is a time of celebration where properties are returned. So this return of property. According to Leviticus, what does the Jubilee year require? The return of property, giving back what was taken. The slaves became free and things of that nature. All right, which of the following was not a son of Noah? Which of the following was not a son of Noah? Shem, Seth, Japheth, or Ham? Which of the following was not a son of Noah? Amy, I guess you know this one because I know you study that. Which of the following was not a son of Noah? Was it Shem, Seth, Japheth, or Ham? Who was not a son of Noah? Amy, you must be driving. Because that car is coming up in here. And the one that was not a son of Noah is Seth. Okay, who said, "Do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie down with my ancestors, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." Who said, "Do not bury me in Egypt. When I lie down with my ancestors, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place"? Was it Jeremiah, Joseph and Jacob? Joseph or Jacob? Anybody? Anybody want to take a shot? And it was Jacob. That is verified in Genesis 47, verse 29. Okay, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. This was spoken to whom? This was spoken to Abraham, Jacob, Noah, or Moses. Again, I'm establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you. That means the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. This was spoken to whom? Abraham, Jacob, Noah, or Moses? Anybody? Anybody want to guess? Amy? Lisa must have fell asleep on me tonight. But that was Noah. Noah is the answer. In the book of Genesis, God promised to Abraham follows most closely to which story? Eve, the flood, the murder of Abel, or the Tower of Babel? In the book of Genesis, God's promise to Abraham, follows most closely on which story? And that story would be the Tower of Babel. Are you back? Okay. What did Rebecca do that led to her marriage with Isaac? Again, what did Rebecca do that led to her marriage with Isaac? Did she gave Abraham's servant a drink? She lied about her parentage. She wore a heavy veil on her wedding night. She prayed to God to bring her a suitor. What did Rebecca do that led to her marriage with Isaac? And this is amazing. She gave Abraham's servant a drink. These are details. My final is not as details because this is, they had a Bible, they had a complete Bible study in addition to the lessons I gave. We just did the lessons. So according to the story in Numbers, God denied Moses permission to accompany the Israelites into the promised land because Moses had done which of the following? Again, according to the story in Numbers, God denied Moses permission to accompany the Israelites into the promised land because Moses had done which of the following? He fathered children who were unfaithful to God. He failed to follow God's instructions concerning the building of the tabernacle. He failed to follow God's instruction in bringing water out of a rock. He allowed the Israelites to intermarry with pagans and to worship foreign gods. According to the story in Numbers, God denied Moses permission to accompany the Israelites into the promised land because Moses had done which of the following? And it is Moses failed to follow God's instructions in bringing water out of a rock, which I didn't even know that. And this is the last one. What did the Israelites in the wilderness complain about? They did just complain. They complained about the sandals, the food, the water, Miriam's leadership, or the manna. It was the manna. And they did a lot of complaining. God was very upset, but that in Numbers, that's when they did the wandering. The complaints was about the manna. God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this review, a quick review. We ask you, God, to continue to give us more and more daily understanding. This is a review of five books, long chapters of the Bible. So, God, thank you for the privilege of even let us get an outline to get some type of insight, background history on the greatest book that has been written on this earth, the Bible. God, we thank you and we praise you that we're a little more clearer, a little more developed, a little more understanding on the Pentateuch, on Moses, on some of the characters in the Old Testament. God, we thank you that we can make an analysis with the New Testament, Heavenly Father. We can see the Christ of the Old Testament and the Christ of the New Testament. We can see that cities were designed just like our cities are designed today, where evil was running rampant, but there were atonements. But there were atonements. What did I do wrong? Oh, boy. But atonements were made for the people. Let me see what is going on. Okay, somebody had messed that up. Yeah, you can't hit the buttons if I connect you in because I think you'll be out of the conference. Just heard something in the background. Oh. So, God, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Bible is a very long, complicated book, but it is the most cherished book on the land of earth. It's the longest living book on the earth. So we thank you, God, for giving us an opportunity to take a look at the outline, to be able to just even get a better view of the Pentateuch. These are five long chapters. God, we thank you for Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We thank you, God, that we may not know the stories inside out, but we're sure getting a better outline of what was going on. It is clear that evil was around from the Old Testament, and it was overcome. God's power reigned, and the same evil's on this earth, and we know that God's power will reign again and will continue to reign. And we thank you, God, for that reigning. We thank you, God, for pulling us out of the evil part of this earth and setting our foot on a solid ground on the righteous side of this earth. God, we know that what the devil meant for bad, you're using for good. You're giving us clarity and understanding. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that from these teachings we learned that many nations suffered because they did not trust and obey. We learned in Numbers how the people wandered. They were wanderers, just wandering. It reminded me so immensely, so profoundly of the T.I. People, just wandering, looking for answers. The God had the answer all along. They could have reached their promised land in 1 year. It took them 40 years because they did not trust and obey. God, don't let that be the targeted individual community. God, give us the spirit of trust and obey. Give us the spirit of direction. God, lead and direct us. Give us a spirit of fasting and praying and doing what needs to be done to let these demons know that this type of programming they're doing on this earth will not continue. God, we thank you for enlightenment. We thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, for letting us know what we know and letting us know that we cannot just fight on the earthly realm, because the magnitude of evil in this program clearly lets us know that this program is using supernatural forces, dark forces. And we thank you, God, that we know that you have the force above all forces. We thank you, God, for giving us the stamina and ammunition to put the light out on dark forces, to put the light right on dark forces and shut them down. And everything will occur according to your will. God, we thank you for our Bible stories. We thank you, God, that these stories tell us that if God gave you a promise, if he told you he was going to do something, it shall be done, and it will be done according to his timing. And I thank you that by reading these stories, it was very clear to me, it clearly stated, even if things don't get done in this generation, because of disobedience, lack of trust, whatever the case may be, but one thing is assured, if God promised it, it shall come to pass. It can be the next generation or the generation after, but it will come to pass. But I ask you, God, to bring it in this generation, the passing of eugenics and genocidal programming and scientific obstructions and economic disasters on people, mainly people, just poor people across the land. And we bind that spirit up of oppression. We bind up. One thing is trying to keep people economically impoverished, but another thing is trying to kill them and take their health. Satan, you are a liar, and I bind that spirit up in the name of Jesus. I call life, good health, peace, love, compassion, and prosperity in the name of Jesus over each and every praying person. God, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you, God, for what you've done, what you're going to do. I thank you, God, for praying targeted individuals. I thank you, God, for keeping them, watching over them, giving them the spirit to continue to pray in the midst of difficult situations. God, I thank God for those who don't know prayer yet, those who may even be mad at you, but I pray, Holy Spirit, you bring them right back in. I pray for families to be brought back together. I plead the blood of Jesus over my nephews. I plead the blood of Jesus that they'll be men of God. I plead the blood of Jesus over TIs in this community, men and women that will be men and women of God, and let the devil know he's a liar. I bind up the spirit of croaking. I bind up the spirit of giving the devil pleasure of us complaining. But I know when people are suffering, it may sound like complaining, but they're really, feeling the manifestations of these unregulated crimes. And I bind that spirit up. I bind up every electromagnetic weapon that comes against innocent people. I bind it up. I plead the blood of Jesus, and I ask you, God, for continual shielding. I ask you, God, to cover my neighbors in this building that are having their own issues with drugs. I bind up that drug demon, and I plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. They will overcome that demon, crack, cocaine, whatever it is, that they will be men and women of God. And I ask you, God, for a hedge of protection as they deal with medical entities. Medical entities don't mind drug people. It's when they come off the drugs, they'll kill them. I ask you, God, to cover them. Lead them right off them drugs, God. God, I praise you, and I thank you for the healing on my mother, and I thank you for longevity, and I thank you, God, for giving her 100 more years, if that is your will. God, I give you praise. I give you glory. I thank you, God, for each and every participant, every listener, downloader, and I ask you, God, to protect them, to cover them, their families, their bloodline, their children. Let them be covered with the blood. Bless our sister Lisa, who came in late, Heavenly Father. God, I bind up every scientific obstruction being done to her in the name of Jesus. And I ask you, God, to give her the wisdom, the light, the insight, the supernatural knowledge to know which way to go and what to do with her health. And I ask you, God, for the gift of longevity over her life, that these demons will not be able to take her out before her time. I thank you, God, for her praying spirit. I ask you, God, to cover her and our sister Anne. I thank you again, God. You proved to us that you're such a wondrous God. She went in the hospital and came out, both Lisa and Anne. And I thank you and I praise you, God, because you didn't have to do it, but you did. I ask you, God, to continue to bless them. Let them continue to be a living testimony of God's greatness and his mercy in the midst of being in a eugenics program. God, I give you praise. I thank you for our sister Amy that you're using, God, to go around and just inspire people, motivate people, encourage people. Thank you, God, for keeping her in your word, keeping her studying her Bible, studying the Quran, studying knowledge, trying to live a holy life. I ask you, God, to use her to continue, God, to bless her bloodline, bless her son, bless her mother. Cover them with your love, Heavenly Father. Cover them with the blood. Cover them with the gift of protection, the gift of provision for protection and on the cross. Bless our brother France that's new in the program. Bless Marissa, my cousin, that was praying with us. Bring her back to a praying life, God, with us in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you and I praise you. I give you all the praise, Heavenly Father. And I thank you for the blessed week that we had. And I thank you, God, for the blessed week that's coming before each and every one of us. And I decree and declare that every blessing God has for us will come to pass. And I bind up every demon force trying to come against us. I bind up everything associated with death, sickness, disease, poverty. I bind it up in the name of Jesus, and I accept, God, the blessings of good health, the blessings of prosperity, advancement of the kingdom of God, advancement of the work of God. God, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew. And I thank you, God, that this cold is going to head for the hills momentarily. All right. Any comments? Anybody got anything to say? Well, I had a
call
quiet
recording
night.
Has been completed.
It was a quiet night. Lisa must be tired. Amy, are you still there? Lisa, no comments tonight?